Okay, welcome to another meeting with Zion's Trumpet. How's everybody doing out there in Pal Talk Land? Everybody doing good this week? Good, good. All right. Anybody have anything you'd like to share before we start off here? Yeah, looks like Irma has something to share. Good, Sister Irma, you have the mic.
Okay, I just have a couple comments before you start your teaching. I think your new battle cry theme song is absolutely great. I loved it. Also, I loved the interview. It was excellent. Your interview video, it was so well done with such simplicity. It showed a lot of clarity concerning your teachings on Israel. Keep bringing it on. It was so good. I like the ending, quote, "How can two walk together except they agree?" That was just perfect. And then I was reminded also of 2 Corinthians 6:14, quote, "What communion hath light with darkness?" Unquote. Answer, none. I thank God he blessed me to have communion and fellowship with those who are determined to walk in all truth. If we walk humbly before God, he is faithful to lead us into all truth and bless us with his favor. I also believe we are in the, quote, eye of a spiritual storm. The powers of darkness are upon us as never before, and only truth can conquer darkness. So I want to thank you, Dan, for the truth you share with us each week. That's all. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Irma. God bless you. I have another one of those videos up. I put up today. Let's see. I was going to do one or two songs tonight. You guys remember We Are Being Built Into a Temple? Remember that song, We Are Being Built Into a Temple? That's current, what we're doing, what the Lord's doing. We are being built into a temple fit for God's own dwelling place. The house of God, which is the church, the pillar and the ground of truth. Precious stones that Jesus owns, fashioned by love and grace. And as we love and trust each other, so the building grows and grows. We are being built in for God's own dwelling place, the house of God, which is the church, the pillar and the ground of truth. Precious stones that Jesus owns, fashioned by his love and grace. And as we love and trust each other, so the building grows and grows. We are being built into a temple fit for God's own dwelling place, the house of God, which is the church, precious stones that Jesus owns, fashioned by His love and grace. And as we love and trust each other, so the building grows and grows. As precious stones that Jesus owns, fashioned by His love and grace. And as we love and trust each other, so the building grows and grows. How lovely is thy dwelling place, God. My soul longs and faints for us. And I would rather be a doorkeeper in thy house than to live all my somewhere else. You are my son, you are my shield, you are my love from the start, and the highway to your city runs through my heart. Dwelling place, oh Lord my God, my soul longs and faints for thy courts, and I would rather be a doorkeeper to live all my life somewhere else. You are my son, you are my shield, you are my love from the start, and the highway to your city runs through my heart. Dwelling place, oh Lord my God, my soul longs and faints for thy courts, and I would rather be a doorkeeper somewhere else. You are my son, you are my shield, you are my love from the start, and the highway to your city runs through my heart. You are my son, you are my shield, you are my love from the start, and the highway to your city runs through my heart. Amen. Okay, anybody have anything to share before we start? Anything on your heart? Ah, okay. Let me see. I think somebody here had something. Did you have something, Joey? Are you ready? Joey's trying to get something together, but I think he needed more time, but we're going to force him.
Thank you, Dad.
Wow, guys. Been here about, well, over a year now, and in front of this microphone, I'm still just as nervous as the first week. But Mama said, just do it. So anyway, how's everybody doing? I wrote a little something this week. I was blessed by what Mama Annabelle said last week when she mentioned something about the fact that there's a place in the Spirit where it is possible for the sons of God to know that they are walking in that place as sons. Now that is a great blessing from the Lord, because I do believe that when God makes something so real to a child of God about their spiritual identity that they have earned through faithfulness and devotion to Christ, I believe that inner knowing will develop a spiritual steel in them that would strengthen their fight. It will give them more power in their awareness and watchfulness and spiritual self-defense against all forms of attacks that would try to steal their crown. As I was meditating on what Mama said, my mind was wandering off to a few other related scriptures that was personally encouraging me about hopefully attaining and maintaining that place of walking as a son. In John 5:30, Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, also doeth the Son likewise." And he said in John 5:19, he says, "I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me." God is ever more so desirous about a people to come to that place of spiritual maturity or perfection more than we can ever desire. He is zealous for his sons to come forth. And what I was being encouraged about this week through these scriptures was about how Jesus lived a life of abiding intimately with the Father. There was no life of God for him outside of the complete leading of the Holy Spirit. He could do absolutely nothing of eternal value for the Father's kingdom unless he was absolutely abiding in the Father and in complete obedience and submission to his authority and perfect will in the Holy Ghost. To the carnal mind, that type of life is absolutely impossible. But thank God that although it is impossible with man, but with God it is very possible, because otherwise such calling to sonship would not even exist in the Word of God for those who has ears to hear. And indeed, such nature of life is real and is available for those who will press into the fullness of God today. We don't have to be perfect overnight, but God is looking for hearts that will daily stir themselves up to fight in order to get into that place. In fact, it is so possible to walk in such a life, not just for Jesus himself, but to Christians. He wrote to the Christians in Rome, according to Romans 8:14, he said, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." Okay. Secondly, there were a few more scriptures that were a blessing to me this week that pertains to walking in the Spirit. It says in Luke 6:12, it says, "And it came to pass in those days that he, Jesus, went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God." That's Luke 6:12. Luke 5:16 says, "And he withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed. And when day came, he departed to a lonely place, and the multitudes were searching for him, and he came to him and tried to keep him from going away from them." So anyway, he went to a lonely place and he prayed. he spent time with the Father, 4 verse 42. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. Mark chapter 1 verse 35. One of the things I was being convicted about this week was my lack of waiting on the Lord. The Lord was showing me that I have not been pouring out the amount of quality time with Him as I should to be alone with Him in a concentrated devotion. And I had to repent and could not but weep because the Lord is constantly seeking our fellowship with Him in a pure manner. In fact, He died and shed His blood for us so that we can enter into that secret place of the Most High, so we can approach Him in His throne of grace. He paid the ultimate price in agony and suffering beyond human imagination in order for us to be alone with Him in holiness and righteousness. And yet, I personally made so many mistakes of neglecting that place of first love with Him. Our hearts can grow so cold before the Lord, even without us realizing it. It is very, very dangerous if we are not careful and sensitive. The occupation of living in this life can creep in, even religious life, in doing so many good things, thinking we've done all that's required of us for the day, but may not realize the spiritual effects it has done to us, that's slowly dragging us or slowing us down in our progress of growing intimately closer to the Lord if our priorities are not in kingdom order. This tragedy is very common to those who's forgotten their calling to press into Him and to love Him as our all-in-all for who He is. So many get so tired of seeking the Lord, they end up getting bored with God. They lose their concept of the vision, of the purpose of redemption. So the message of warfare, the message of sonship, separation, holiness, perfection, living in the Spirit, or spiritual rewards, etc., becomes a theological talk. But in reality, it has become nothing but a cliche to them. It no longer has any value, nor depth, nor meaning in their spiritual daily sustenance. And then flesh begins to rule. Compromise with the world begins to creep in. The lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes consumes them. And so all kinds of spiritual and fleshly bondages and corruption becomes the result of such lukewarmness and or spiritual laziness. And so this week, personally, I was being warned and exhorted about pressing in to Him, to keep Him as my first love, pressing into that secret place. And it surely is not without a fight, of course. It is not without a price. It takes wrestling and struggling against all types of resistance against the demonic and fleshly realm. And in the past, I can testify that some of the strongest bondages and struggles I've had was graciously overcome by spending time wrestling with the Lord in my lonely place of fellowshipping with Him. I was being blessed reading a little bit about Jacob this week, and obviously Jacob was in the midst of a great distress. Jacob stated in his desperation as he cried out to the Lord, saying, "Deliver me, I pray thee, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him, lest he will come and smite me and the mother with the children." The passage goes on to describe about Jacob's plan to appease his brother's wrath. But in verse 24 of that same chapter, it says that Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint. As he wrestled with him, and he said, "Let me go, for the day breaketh." And he said, "I will not let thee go, except thou bless me." And he said unto him, "What is thy name?" And he said, "Jacob." And he said, "Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed." And Jacob asked him and said, "Tell me, I pray thee, thy name." And he said, "Wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name?" And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. There's so much in these few scriptures, but one thing for sure somehow I was being blessed as I read about Jacob's time of being alone with God, wrestling and struggling in the midst of his distress and desperation. He met with God face to face and was transformed inside and out. His fear for his life being taken out has disappeared. His insecurities were gone. His trust and faith and overall relationship with God has been transformed, and so was Jacob's nature of being a shrewd, deceiving person into a man going on to perfection in his destiny as a father of a great nation, Israel. And by the way, you know, this is kind of like a rabbit trail, but, you know, Brother Dan has been coming against anti-Semitism, both off the air, as we talk here at the house, and of course on Pal Talk at different levels against different groups of people. And surely, without a doubt, it's a powerful demon spirit that's been coming against Israel in a murderous and in unjust manner. But I am so glad that just as Jacob, who is Israel, whom God protected and blessed in the midst of an attempt to attack and murder him by those who hated him, God will be faithful to rise up against this entire wicked world and protect and bless the nation of Israel for the sake of his glory and of his holy name. Amen. And so, as we continue our journey, even as in Jacob's case, the enemy of our soul will constantly increase in his wrath to murder the life of God, all levels of believers today, but especially those who's going on to perfection in the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That is why Paul said in Philippians 3, he said, "I press toward the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." The devil knows he has but a short time, so he is and will even more increase his demonic attacks against the true body of Christ. The devil knows how to press on in his agenda to destroy God's people because time is short. But sadly, Christians do not know how to press on into God even though time is very short. And brother or sister, if we are really trying to heed and put feet in the message we are hearing about sonship and overcoming, the devil has been planning our deception, our destruction. He has been working hard to bring you to a place of discouragement and despair. He wants to plant thoughts in your mind that you can never make it, and drown you with imaginations that you are hopeless and worthless. Of course, not to mention that might be true indeed if we're not doing our part to fight, or if we're lazy and compromising, or possibly even stubborn. But as long as the Lord is still inviting us to cultivate a hunger and longing to be with Him, as long as God is still opening our eyes to the vision and maintaining a heart of repentance, God is giving us the right and the power to be free from Satan's bondages and from the grips of this world and against all sins in our lives. And if we can get a hold of God in that secret place and be alone with Him, to seek Him and seek and His will only, and as we meet His terms and conditions, He will fulfill His promises to deliver us and transform us into what He desires for us to be as His habitation, individually and corporately, for His glory. And although it may not be an overnight deliverance for most situations, but just like Jacob, who pressed into God, will have a breaking of the day that will be marked as a moment of transformation and progression in our relationship with God, and be able to lift our eyes because the Lord sees that we have prevailed in the good fight of faith through faithfulness and through endurance in the fight. You know, one of the songs I love to sing around here is a song that's titled His Favor Is Life. It says, the song goes like this. It says, "For His favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but know, always know, that God is in control, and joy cometh in the morning." It says, "I've got joy in my soul, for God is in control. He comes through when my heart is in despair. He is almighty and supreme, beyond what I could dream. He is the God who always answers prayer." Are you in a situation that's impossible? Is there darkness just as far as you can see? Hold on a little longer. Put your trust in Father God. In the morning, you will see the victory. So anyway, that song kind of reminds me about God's faithfulness to deliver not just our father Jacob long ago, who saw his victory in the morning, but also deliverance for those that are of his descendants, who's blessed with the Lord's mercy and grace according to the will and purpose of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So anyway, amen. That's all I had to share tonight, and hopefully somebody gets blessed. Back to Dan.
That was a very good word. You did good, Joey. Amen. All right. Anybody else have anything to share? Okay, let me get my thing together. I'm going to just give you a little word here about this message. It's John Jeffries. You're all familiar with him. And what he's doing in this message is emphasizing that Christ is coming in a people, not just for a people. He's coming in a people. And he's relating this message to Christ being unveiled. When he comes, he's not just going to come in the clouds. He's also going to be unveiled in people. And there's a day when everything's going to be unveiled. And for those who have had the work done in him, it's going to be Christ unveiled. But for those who haven't had the work done in him, it's going to be something else unveiled. So that's where he's coming from. He's a little strong on that, on Christ coming in us. So I just want to say that, you know, y'all know we believe Jesus is coming back physically at the last trump, all right? But he's also coming in the people. And that's an aspect that the Christian church has ignored. They're not aware of. They don't put any focus on. It's just like not even on the radar. And so I think it's a good message to hear. All right, let me get a chance to get this switched over my system here.
Turn to the 28th chapter of 1 Chronicles. The context of this passage is David has come to the end of his lengthy kingdom of 40 years. David has taken his son Solomon, the one son that God chose to put on the throne after him. And at this moment of intense burden, David is imparting to Solomon his commission. David is just opening his heart and is pouring out upon Solomon the commission that he's given him, and we'll read it here. Verse 8 of the chapter. Now therefore, in the sight of all Israel, the congregation of the Lord, and in the audience of our God, keep and seek for all the commandments of the Lord your God, that ye may possess this good land and leave it for an inheritance for your children after you forever. And thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searcheth all hearts and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee. But if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever. Take heed now, for the Lord hath chosen thee to build an house for the sanctuary. Be strong and do it. Then David gave to Solomon his son the pattern of the porch, and of the houses thereof, and of the treasuries thereof, and of the upper chambers thereof, and of the inner parlors thereof, and of the place of the mercy seat, and the pattern of all that he had by the Spirit, of the courts of the house of the Lord, and of all the chambers round about, of the treasuries of the house of God, and of the treasuries of the dedicated things. In verse 19, all this, said David, the Lord made me understand in writing by his hand upon me, even all the works of this pattern. You know, I used to think that the temple up there on Zion's hill, we call Solomon's temple because Solomon was handed all the materials for that temple by his father David, but then Solomon, in the wisdom that God gave to him and in the understanding that God gave to him, he began to cunningly devise what that house would look like and what the porch would look like and what the patterns of it would look like, what the oracle would look like, how many tables of showbread there would be, how many candlesticks there would be, how many lavers there would be, and that he designed all of that thing. But no, not only was Solomon given all the materials that were needed to build that house, but Solomon was even handed the patterns and the visions for that house. It came from David. It was David that had the desire to bring the ark up into Jerusalem. It was David who had the desire to build a house for the Lord. It was David that went out in the plague when the angel stayed his hand and stood there over Jerusalem with drawn sword, and he walked up to that dreaded place, and it happened to be the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite, and he looked at Ornan the Jebusite, and he bought that threshing floor from him, and he bought the necessary items for the sacrifice, and he sacrificed there before the Lord in the presence of that death angel with the drawn sword, and that purchased property even became the exact spot where that house would be built. It was David that had the burden for it. It was David that had yearned after it. It was David that must have had the beginning of that yearning started when he was a very young man. And it progressed all the way up through his kingship. And in through his years, he had a yearning to see the building of the house go up. It was David that had it such a yearning that the Spirit of God was able to give him the burden of it in the night seasons through dreams and in visions and lay that thing out in every detail because of the burden it was in David's heart. It was David that went out to war and overcoming kings and kingdoms, brought in the silver and the gold and the brass for that house. He overtook a king that was marching towards a town near Syria. He was marching with 700 chariots. He had nothing to do with David whatsoever. He was making the war on the other king. And David ambushed him right in his progress with his whole army and completely defeated him and brought in, I can't remember how many shekels of silver and talents of gold and brass without number, without weight. It was David that went out and fought the battles to secure all those materials. And they were just, Solomon didn't have to secure the materials, they were there. Solomon didn't have to plan out what the house would be like. It was already there. David had received it in the night seasons. Don't you know that David wanted to build that house? Don't you know that it was the burden of David all along and it was the deep cry of his heart to go ahead and build that house? But David could not see the building of that house. And so you see, when he said, "And thou, Solomon, my son," he was committing to Solomon the deepest down burden of his spirit. He was imparting to Solomon the most intense thought, the most intense drive that was down in his heart. He was imparting into the hands of his son the unfinished work of his life's burden. And he said, "Thou, Solomon, my son, the Lord has chosen you to build it. You be strong and build it." What a responsibility. Same with our heavenly David. Our heavenly David came forth, and he walked perfectly for 33 and a half years. And he fought our battles. He fought battles for us. And he secured the gold and the silver. And he had the burden for the house. But he willingly laid his life down. And he has committed the building of that house into another's hands. And it has been poured into you and I. And down inside of you and I are all of the gifts and all of the ministries and all of the gold and all of the silver and all of the means to see this house go up. And the Spirit of God is saying, "Be strong and do it." He has committed to us his very burden. The very burden of the house of God has been committed into our hands. Before the judgment seat of Christ, we're going to have to answer, not for just what we've done or what we've not done, but whether we have borne the most significant burden that the Spirit of God is carrying in this hour, the building and the completion of his house. That's what we're going to have to reckon with. That's what we're going to have to face. I see that as this convention started off with the message on the gifts and the proper moving in them. And everything has got to relate to the fulfillment of that burden. And that is where the burden of the heart of God is for the building up of his house in this hour.